Is that great? No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Awesome. God's Spirit is in this place, is it not? Yeah. You feeling God's power, God's might within you? Ready to take on whatever is coming at you that you need to face this day with God's power? We've got to go to Matthew chapter 14. It'll begin at verse 22, but I'm not going to start there. It's a familiar story, but I'm going to go to the end of the story and work my way back. Because sometimes when you read the Word of God, different things jump out at you. That's why it's the living Word of God, right? Every time you see these same stories, you go, oh, I know the story, and I know the meaning behind it. Well, there's always another meaning behind it, isn't there? Something for us, for this time, in this place, in this very moment. So Matthew chapter 14, I'm going to begin at verse 34. After they crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. The news of their arrival spread quickly throughout the whole surrounding area, and soon people were bringing all of their sick to be healed by Jesus. The sick begged him to let them touch even the fringe of his robe, and all who touched it were healed. Wow. All who touched even the hem of Jesus' robe were healed. This is a crossover moment. Jesus had to get to the other side of the lake in order to do what? Heal people, right? God is always moving around and amongst us, always in movement to reach out and touch all of us and heal us all. That's how Jesus operates. But I want to give you the backdrop of the story and also go over some of the things that occurred on the way across that lake, a very small lake in a very small boat, and a little small miracle occurred on that specific time. But prior to this, in chapter 14, as it begins, John the Baptist had been beheaded. So they give Jesus the news about that. And he goes away by himself to be alone, to be with God, and to contemplate that, to pray to God about that. So we find Jesus at the beginning of this story in grief as the human that he was. But where does he go when he's in that moment of loss? Goes to God, right? So he goes back to God. And then the very next thing that transpires is that all the people come to find him. And so we heard the story of the 5,000 being fed. So the very next thing that Jesus does, even in the midst of his own personal grief, he feeds 5,000 people because they had a need. And he healed the people that were there as well. So we see that what Jesus always does all the time as God's servant is to heal people of whatever it is that they have going on, regardless of how he's feeling, regardless of his humanness, regardless of a bad situation or a circumstance facing him. He still served in the face of that. That's the kind of God that we have. Keep that in mind. When you're going through difficult times, Jesus is never out of your sight or not capable ever of helping you and healing you and seeing you through. Even in the midst of his own grief, he goes to the Father alone and prays and gets the power he needs. What does that teach you and me about us? What we need to do in the midst of all of our ministries? Whenever there's any kind of need, we go to God in prayer. We ask for God to empower us. Or if we're in our own individual situation, we don't just think about ourselves. We think about the fact that we're all servants of God here to do and bring healing to others, are we not? Spiritually first, of course, right? But we're always on a mission. We're always here together as a group, always wanting to help people be better, to be more spiritually sound, to help them grow, and especially to heal all the type of wounds that they may have, regardless of what's happening in our own personal lives. It's about others. It's not about me, you, and I, right? Right. That's the example we see in Jesus. So verse 22, we're going to begin there. Immediately after this, after he fed the 5,000, immediately after this, Jesus made his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. Right? So what's the purpose of the other side of the lake? You heard the outcome of that, right? The purpose was Jesus knew they had to get to the other side of the lake because people there were in need, were they not? So they're going to cross over from this side of the lake to that side of the lake. Simple process, right? And then he sends all the people home. Now, I'm sure he didn't say just get out of here kind of a thing. What happens is it says after he went up into the hills by himself to pray. What is he also praying for? All those people he had just met, all those people he said goodbye to. We know in the story prior to, there were at least 5,000 men. Who knows how many women and children there were, right? So he spent the bulk of the rest of his time while his disciples get in the boat and go to the cross over, he's going to meet them there, right? Correct? He's got more work to do, but he sends the disciples to go to the other side. Afterward, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. It was already dark as when he fed the 5,000. Now it's really dark. And so he's up there and he's by himself and he's there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. So what's going on here? Jesus is praying. Night fell. He's praying. He's praying for all the people. He's praying for the people he already served, and he's praying for those he's yet to meet, right? He's a praying person. So no matter what we're doing all the time, whether before and after and during, what are we doing while we're serving God and trying to help others? We're praying, right? Meanwhile, the disciples are fighting some waves. They hit a little bit of a problem crossing that lake, did they not, right? So I'm sure the disciples are thinking, where is Jesus? What happened here? He's up there just praying. He's, you know, he took care of all those people. What about us? We're going to drown, right? You ever sometimes feel as though God's too busy for taking care of others and he forgets about you? If we were to tell the truth, God's a busy God some days, right? So he's busy taking care of the entire world right now. And little old you might be into trouble. You might have a problem in your life. And you're thinking, where's God? Where is he? Where'd he go? What happened? Correct? Some of us do that, correct? Yes, of course we do. So moving on. About 3 o'clock in the morning, much later than night fell, which would be probably sometime around, you know, sundown kind of a thing. Many hours go by. It's now 3 o'clock in the morning. Jesus came to them, finally going to show up. Where have you been? Came to them, walking on the water. The boat was gone, right? He had no means of transportation. So what does Jesus do? Jesus does what all of us realize. Jesus does the impossible, right? He doesn't need something natural for him to be able to move in his spirit, does he? Or to do his work, does he? He starts walking on the water. When the disciples saw him, they went, oh, finally, he's here. Oh, they screamed in terror. Thinking he was a ghost, right? It's the middle of the night. They see this thing coming at them, right? And surely they think, oh, no, we're doomed. It's a ghost trying to, not only were we fighting the wind and the wave. Do you notice how your mind sometimes escalates on you when you're afraid in the middle of the night, right? Anybody have that, you know, I call it really more of a downward spiral. But needless to say, we can sometimes make matters worse in our own head, can we not? Do we sometimes catastrophize things? Oh, no, we're doomed. Oh, my God, what's going to happen here? Jesus isn't anywhere around, and now there's a ghost. What are we going to do? We're fighting these waves. We can't take it, right? And we panic, right? A panicking Christian is sometimes who we are. Ah! But Jesus spoke to them at once. See, here's the cool part about God. In the midst of your panic, in the midst of your raging terror and fear, in the midst of that, Jesus speaks out. And he speaks out all the time to each and every one of us if we have the ears to hear. He says, here's what he says. At once, he says, as soon as he realizes how afraid they are. And where are they? They're in a storm, are they not, right? The wind and the waves, the boat's going like this. Some of them may not be having such a good stomach moment at that time, right? They're getting a little seasick, let's say, right? They're in the midst of a storm. And Jesus comes to them at once and says, it's all right. Why? I am here. Don't be afraid. No matter where we are on our life journey, no matter what's going on in us and around us, and sometimes the circumstances can be stormy, can they not? Life situations can cause us to go into fear and worry and all those kind of things that many of us humans do. But we have a supernatural, superhuman God who can walk on water to us, get through all the storms, get through all the debris, get through all the obstacles, and get himself to us. And he says to us each and every time that you become afraid or I become afraid, he says, it's all right. I am here. God is not a God. Jesus Christ is not a God in some faraway place. Even though the universe is expansive, he's within you. He's around you. He's always with us, no matter where we are. Can you grasp that concept this morning? Can you believe that today? Do you believe it right now because you're safe and sound in this beautiful sanctuary where all is well? It is well with my soul. But if there's a crash bang at the front door, I don't know what's going to happen in here, right? We humans, right? We have reactions, don't we? We often forget God is still where? Here. Oh, and where else is God? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Here, inside of you, in your mind, the place where sometimes those negative thoughts sometimes dwell. But God is more powerful than even our own thoughts. Do you know that? Do you believe that this morning? Fear will cause us to be afraid and panic and think that God isn't anywhere near. And we have to fight the waves. We have to take on the circumstances ourselves. We're fighting this all by ourselves and all alone. No wonder we should be afraid, right? However, Jesus never leaves us or forsakes us, no matter where we are. You just have to know and say to yourself, it's all right. God is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. I'm powerful because of him, right? All right. Want the story to end there? Is that enough? No. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, like who else going to be, but okay. Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you by walking on the water. Prove to me that you are who you say you are. Let me do what you're doing. How many of you would like to try that? I got 2-3 hands. Okay, beautiful. All right, nice. Oh, 15 on Facebook. That's much nicer. Okay. I doubt it. I doubt I'm going to be able to do it, really, is what he's saying. But he's testing Jesus, right? Because Jesus, we know, can walk on water, correct? Right? We know that. What about you? Do you think you can? You doubt it, don't you? So here's what Jesus says. All right, come. Peter goes, oh, what did I say? Hey, John, why don't you go? He's the one you love, and you love him. You go. Oh, Thomas, oh, I doubt it. I can't do it. Oh. All right, come. Listen, when you get brave enough and bold enough to ask God for great, big, awesome, impossible things, you know what God says to you? All right, come. Come on. Start to believe. Start to have faith in what I can do for you. See, you're not going to be able to walk on water alone, are you? But under God's power, can you do anything and everything? Because I get there's a scripture, I can do all things through Christ. I can do how many things? All things. Some things? Everything through Christ and his strength, right? We have to start believing that. See, there's a difference between faith. Faith is belief that something's real. Doubt is vacillating in that faith. I'm not so sure. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I should. I don't know. I think I doubt it. I don't know if I do. That's what doubting is. It's a vacillation between faith and fear. How are we going to walk on water in fear? How are you going to get out of the boat in the first place in fear? I'm not going. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on water toward Jesus. Wow, he did it. He did it. Yay, Peter. You can just hear the disciples. Man, he did it. Wow. Ooh, you want to go next, John? Thomas? Oh, I doubt it. Okay, how about... Poor Thomas. Next verse, there's a but, and there's bad and good buts in the Bible, as you well have been taught by me. This is a bad one. But when he looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. When your mind, you know, they may not even be real waves visibly for you to see sometimes. But when we look at our problems, when we look at our difficulties, when we look at the things that scare us, when you look at that instead of God, you get terrified, don't you? And those are sinking thoughts, are they not? They only can bring you down, right? Can't they? The other day I had an MRI, my second one for my shoulder. And so, you know, the guy prepares you and he says, I'm going to be with you all along this. I'm going to talk to you so you'll know you're safe. If you have any problem, I'll give you this little bulb. You can just pull it and I'll be right there and I'll get you out of this thing. I'm like, phew. Okay. I looked where the back opening was. I looked where the front was. I looked all around it and said, I could do this. And then I looked up and I saw the machine over my head. And I started going in. And I went, get me out of this thing. And he zipped me right back out. I said, I need to close my eyes. I don't want to see this thing about this far from my head because I'm getting claustrophobic. He said, would you like a washcloth for your eyes? I said, no, I can keep my eyes really tight closed. I'm good at that. And I said, turn up the Christian music really loud and I'll be good. And so for the next 20 minutes, bang, clang, bong, bong, ba-doo, panch, rap, pow, went on. I did not open one eye. And I listened only to the songs and I recognized like two. But needless to say, if I would have opened my eyes, what do you suppose would have happened to me? Get me out of this thing! See, so often we look at the problem, right? We look at the thing that scares us, right? And our mind, when we're looking at whatever it is, our past sometimes, which is brutal and horrible and traumatic, if you look at that, you're going to feel how? Get me out of this life. Or if you're looking at the negative that's all around us because it's always there, or your mind goes off to those negative places about yourself or even what you are afraid of your future, that you're not going to make it. You're not going to reach Jesus. You're not going to be able to keep walking on this water. You're doing something impossible. You're growing. You're changing. You're forgiving. You're serving. You're loving. You're doing all the things that were so impossible before you this before. And you're prosperous and you're healthy and you're well. And all of a sudden you say, how am I doing this? And if you look at the circumstances sometimes in your where? Mind. Your thoughts. If you look at that and you don't look at God and God's power, what can happen to you? You sink. But here's what also happens. Watch this. You press that bulb, right? You say, Jesus, get me out of this. When Peter started to sink, he says, save me, Lord. You got to press the prayer bulb from time to time, don't you? You got to go to God and say, help me, God. I'm afraid right now. I started to do so well, and now things are turning turbulent again, and I'm looking at the wrong things, my circumstances, the things that are scaring me, the things that are going on in other people's lives that are causing me so much angst. I need you, Lord. Let me close my eyes. I can't see it anymore, can you? I can only see who God is. That's what prayer is about, right? When you stop and you pray and you close your eyes, are you looking at your circumstances anymore? Where are you looking? You're looking towards God, right? You're looking out at him and who he is. And watch what transpires next. He says, save me, Lord. And instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. How close was Peter to Jesus? An arm's length, right? I don't know in the story, it doesn't say here, and I started wondering about this. Every time I read scripture, like, oh, I wonder what else happened in that story. Like, how far had Peter walked to Jesus? How far did he get? And he was maybe that close? And he got afraid? See, some of us get so close to a breakthrough of some type, and suddenly, something comes against us, and we think that's it. We have to stop right there. We don't make it to the finish line sometimes, right? Because fear takes over. Our doubts about ourselves or what's happening may occur to us, right? And we start to sink. You don't even know how close you were to getting there. Keep walking. Keep going. Never stop moving. Going towards the goal. Going towards Jesus. You can do it. Never give up and never stop walking. And if you get afraid, what are you going to do? Close your eyes to the circumstances and focus your eyes on Jesus Christ and God and God's power, the supernatural one who lives within you. Isn't it good to know that in that MRI, I wasn't alone at all? Once I realized that, I was thinking, Jesus, help me, please, help me to get through this. And it's okay to cry out to God when you're afraid, We all get afraid. We can't be brave all the time, right? But we can call on Jesus, can't we? Right? And Jesus, right then, reaches out and saves Peter from drowning, or the fact that Peter thought he was going to drown. He grabbed him, and he says, "You don't have much faith in me." Not faith in yourself, Peter. See, some of us have no faith in ourselves, let's be honest. We know we're inadequate. We know we have weaknesses. We know we can't do it alone. It's okay to be dependent on God, right? But Jesus has us every step of the way. You never walk on this path by yourself. You've got to come to know that and believe that and stop doubting it. It's not based on your worth or your deserving either. Because we know about Peter, don't we? Mr. Imperfect, is he not? Jesus still saved him. And Jesus asks this question, why did you doubt me? Why did you doubt Jesus? See, when we come into doubt, we're not doubting ourselves. We're doubting the power of God, are we not? So can you, from this moment forward, grab onto your faith, close your eyes to your circumstances, and pray about God helping you through them, and keep walking towards Jesus to see what the impossible thing he can help you do? Yes? And when they climbed back into the boat, can you just see it? Can you just see it now? It's still a storm happening, by the way. The storm didn't stop yet, right? So here's Peter walking on the water, right? Here's Jesus walking on the water, right? And they're walking there together in the wave, in the winds. Everything's still happening. The storm is still going on. Do you understand that? That the storm never ended. If I was Peter, if I was in that boat, I would have said, "Hey, Jesus, stop the storm, please." That's my solution. I don't want to be in the storm. Just stop it. You can stop the wind and the wave. You're powerful enough. No, you don't learn anything then, do you? You don't learn that you can walk on water. You don't learn that God can walk on water. You don't learn that Jesus Christ is with you every step of the way. And if you even start to sink, he's grabbing you right then and there. And he pulls you up. And get the picture, right? The storm's still going. The boat's going like this. And they climbed into the boat. How do you suppose they climbed? I'm sure Peter grabbed a hold, and who else pushed him up? Jesus Christ himself. Or maybe Jesus went by him and got in the boat and pulled him up. But I don't think so, because it says he grabbed him. You ever been grabbed by grace? You ever been grabbed by love? You ever been grabbed by power? You ever been grabbed in the midst of your sorrow and your grief and your loss and your problems and your concerns, and suddenly, all of a sudden, something takes over and you go, I'm not afraid anymore, right? There's a peace that comes, right? That's being grabbed by Jesus Christ as he grabbed Jesus, or grabbed Peter in the physical. They got in the boat together. Isn't it good to know that Jesus didn't say, "Okay, Peter, go on in the boat. I'll be there in a few minutes." That's not the kind of God we serve. But who learned the most that day? The disciples, in my opinion. They watched with their own eyes another person, bold enough and brave enough to step out of the boat and have faith enough at least to get out of the boat and go towards Jesus. And they watched him walk on water. And they were amazed, even though the boat was still rocking. And maybe some of them thought, "Oh, I wish I'd have gone too. I would have loved to have that experience of being that powerful." My prayer for all of you is don't live vicariously through others. Those of us that have walked on water, and there's people in this room that I know already have and continue to do so every single day. There are people throughout this world today that are battling cancer, but yet they still continue to walk, and they still continue to be brave, and they still continue to be bold and go on and do the things in their life. I've known of people that have all kinds of diseases, all kinds of problems in their life, mentally, emotionally, and physically as well. And yet they continue. They continue to walk on and do work for God, right? And they overcome the impossible odds that often come against them. But that's not about them. It's about us, and it's about you. Wouldn't you want to be the one like Peter that had enough faith after the fact? I'm sure the second time this happened, when the boat started rocking, Peter was like, I'm going to go walk over across the lake here, and I'm going to go take care of these people. Because he experienced it for himself is what I'm saying. Think about the times in your life that you've overcome something. Every last one of us, no matter who you are, you've overcome something, haven't you? You were able this morning to get out of a warm bed and come into a freezing sanctuary. You did it! Some victories are smaller and bigger than others, are they not? But they're all victories. You have to understand that the reason God sometimes puts storms in our life, it's part of what we go through in life, is it not? But is it just to aggravate us and make us afraid? No, the purpose of the storm is to see how powerful our God is. And then once you've been able to get out of that boat and walk on that water, you know what happens the next time? Your faith grows even more, does it not? And it grows even more, does it not? And if you start telling about all people, all the things that you've been through, it gives them hope that perhaps they don't need to doubt anymore that their God is a God who is hands-off. Jesus is a hands-on God in all of our lives. The disciples worshiped him. And they said, you really are the Son of God. Boom, light bulb. God shows up in all of our lives, not only in the storms, but in the quiet, peaceful places as well. Because he's everywhere, right? But particularly in the storm, that's a place where we call on God the most, is it not? And that's when we put our faith to work, correct? Because see, faith without works is dead, right? So unless you have some circumstance in your life that's a stormy situation, how's your faith going to operate? Because we can all be faithful right here, right now, in this safe, quiet little sanctuary. But let a storm come. Well, for those of us that have ridden out many, 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 many storms throughout our lives, we know we can walk on water, don't we? Because we have a Savior who walks on the water with us. So, should something come your way that's stormy in your life, or maybe you already have something, I want you to begin to say, it's all right. Jesus is here. He's got this. I'm going to make it to this shore. Oh, that's why I began at the end. After they crossed the lake. See, there's always an after. We're always going to make it through things. We are going to make it through every single time, no matter what it is that comes our way. You believe that this morning? No doubt about it. And the reason they made it was because God had more work to do, and especially through them as well. Peter had a future, did he not? We all have a future, do we not? God's got a plan, right? The storms aren't going to stop us, are they? Most of the storms that we all have, where they mostly occur. But not when you focus on God and close your eyes and you say, get me through this, God. And if I start to even think a negative thought, reach out and grab me. Help me have more and more faith and trust in you. Doubt your doubts. Hold on to your faith. And if you're one of the disciples that watches others, if somebody's trying to walk on water in your life, pray for them. Pray that they make it. Pray that they know that Jesus is helping them walk on water and cheer them on. And after that, we'll have a boat getter out of kind of people. Huh? I'll tell you what, we'll just call ourselves the water walkers. How about that? No doubt about it. No doubt about it.